You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 5th, 2020, Senator Chuck Schumer stands on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court, points to the U.S. Supreme Court, calls out two justices by name, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, appointed by President Trump, and said, you continue to do the rulings you are going to do, and we expect you to give on abortion. You're sowing the wind. You will reap the whirlwind. That's a threat. That's a direct threat. Went on to say, you have no idea what you're going to be facing after you make those votes. Well, the backlash started pretty fast. Chief Justice Roberts issued a forceful rebuke in a statement. He said, this morning, Senator Schumer spoke at a rally while a case was being argued inside. He referred to two members of the court, said you will have released the whirlwind, you will pay the price. And Chief Justice Roberts said, threatening statements of this sort. He didn't say simply making statements of this sort, but threatening statements. As far as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is concerned, Chuck Schumer issued a threat against members of the U.S. Supreme Court. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, said, I'm going to introduce a resolution to have Schumer censored. That really means nothing more than kind of a slap on the wrist. He said, I'm going to call on Schumer to apologize. Well, Schumer came rushing out today. Let me have the floor. Gets on the floor of the Senate and says, I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat. Yes, you did. You made a threat. The Supreme Court Chief Justice said it was a threat. But he goes on to say, no way was I making a threat. I never would do such a thing. You just did. And Speaker Leader McConnell knows I wouldn't. You just did. And Republicans who are busy manufacturing outrage over these comments know that I wouldn't make a threat. You just did. You're not going to give it up. That's an apology? That's not an apology. That's a little dance is what that is. Well, she is walking away and going back to the reservation. Senator Elizabeth Warren taking off her war paint, putting down the hatchet, dropping out of the 2020 race. This leaves now a one-on-one showdown between Sanders and Biden and the Democrat Party. Will she actually end up endorsing one of them, or is she waiting for one of them to say, hey, you want to come be on the ticket? And then she goes to that one. Well, we have heard from Senator Bernie Sanders as of last night. He said, I will drop out of the Democrat presidential primary if Vice President Biden has most of the pledged delegates going into the Democrat National Convention. In other words, if Biden arrives with the most delegates, more than what Bernie has, and even if he doesn't have the number necessary to win the nomination, Bernie is saying, I will drop out. Well, that's what he said last night. Let's get to that point and see. Across the world, 95,000 believed infected with coronavirus, 3,200 deaths documented, many more possibly on both sides. And I made a comment the other day that now I'm beginning to wonder if the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the Iranian leaders are listening to this program. I made a remark, said something in a passing reference like, wait for somebody to start blaming us for spreading coronavirus. Here they are. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander says coronavirus may have been caused by a U.S. biological attack. And quoting Larry Connors, USA. No, that part he didn't do. That's fine. There's a thin line between credit and blame. But what we do have is California Governor Newsom recognizing they've had one death linked to coronavirus in his state. And he's declaring a state of emergency. Do you know how many died on the streets in California this last year because they were homeless? And that wasn't an emergency? Why is this an emergency? It's politics, my friend. We're going to spend some more time on it coming up in the next segment. I'll break it down for you. And by the way, Washington County, King County, in the state of Washington, recommending all 2.2 million residents to work from home, stay indoors, especially if you're over 60s, self-quarantine. Can you be charged with a crime if you don't want to self-quarantine? We'll get into that. In other words, once we wrap up this news, we got a lot more coming your way. So, settle back. We've got it for you, including a personal story where covering a tornado almost proved deadly for me.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers had opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Okay, so a moment ago I was giving you the numbers on coronavirus and fatalities around the world. Around the world, something like 3,000, something like 95,000 infected. Those are the numbers we know. Numbers certainly could be much higher on both counts. That's understandable. So in California, they've now had a death linked to coronavirus. And I'm trying to see, they describe it as an elderly adult who had underlying health issues. That news coming on the same day that Washington State reported another fatality, bringing the national death toll in the U.S. from coronavirus to 11. And again, in Washington State, most of those were older, in poor health to begin with, and I think a large majority of them, six or more, were all in the same living care center. But Governor Newsom in California, with one death confirmed in his state, and 53 confirmed cases that exist, and 9,400 residents who might have it, has decided this is a state of emergency. And he issued a state of emergency, saying the state of California is deploying every level of government to help identify cases and slow the spread of this coronavirus. The emergency proclamation will help the state further prepare our communities and our healthcare system in the event it spreads more broadly. In several cities in California, including L.A., Pasadena, Long Beach, San Fran, S.O.L., have already declared local emergencies as well. Orange and Marin counties have done the same. Riddle me this. Would you consider homelessness and death of the homeless in the streets an emergency. In the streets of Sacramento, where the state capital is, where you will find the governor if he's doing his job in the capital, there's something like 5,000 homeless in the streets of Sacramento. That's just that city. And, of course, the number across the state, phenomenal. In many cases, there is little or no sanitary equipment for those on the streets. And many of them have either given up or they don't care. They will defecate, urinate, wherever they choose. In front of a nice business, somebody leaves their car unlocked, it might get inside there. That carries diseases that can be just, if not more, deadly than coronavirus. Can be more deadly if you're going to be dead anyway, but threatening as coronavirus, such as, stop and think about it. How many times you have fruits and vegetables suddenly pulled from the market because it came out of a field in California where they realized that some of the workers were not taking proper precautions after going to the bathroom and not washing their hands, and pretty soon they've gotten it inside the product that's now shipped across the nation. There's a concern of salmonella. You could also have spread by this, hepatitis A, typhoid fever, cholera, norovirus, meningitis, rotavirus, all of these from feces. And you've got it all over the state of California. And here we have the state of California with one death of coronavirus, and the state governor is declaring a state of emergency. Would it do any good to point out to him, Governor, you should know that last year, we had a record number of deaths across Los Angeles County, homeless, 918 homeless dying in the streets. 4 in 5 were men. The homeless are dying in record numbers on the streets of L.A. Could be the conditions they're living in, obviously. No shelter and so forth. No proper medical care. There are a lot of things. But I will guarantee you, it doesn't help if folks are defecating and urinating anywhere and everywhere they choose. And they're not making that, and me using that, saying that is a state of emergency for California. You know why? Here is your reason why. Politics. Politics. See, the number of homeless on the streets of California, or California's making and creation, and as they allow more illegals to come in, unchecked, unverified, who knows what diseases they are bringing in, could be coronavirus. But they don't care because they're all about helping illegals at the risk of the California citizens. But what they want to do is blame the coronavirus on the lack of the Trump administration to take what they think he should have been doing to stop it from ever getting into our country. Well, if he did what he wanted to, you wouldn't like it. If he did what he wanted to, and he did in the beginning say, we're going to start suspending flights from different locations that might be linked to the virus, and immediately there was a cry, he's a racist, there it is again. He won't let flights in from various parts of China. It was a health precaution issue. But they turned it into a political opportunity. And when I see the California governor declaring a state of an emergency in his state after one, and that's a shame for even one, but one death due to coronavirus, and I see the same numbers coming out of just L.A., 1,000 dying on the streets last year before we ever heard of coronavirus. Where's your priority? Well, their priority is on a political level. You can blame coronavirus upon the Trump administration. The best they can, anyway, they do. And yet they don't want to have closed down borders. They don't want to tighten the borders. You know what's happening in Germany right now? They have thousands of protesters calling for open borders and for the European Union to allow thousands of migrants to flow into Germany from Turkey. And they're outside marching, outside the German Chancellor's office, shouting, "We have room. Open the border in Greece. Open the border. We have room." Well, now, wait a minute. The threat of coronavirus is not a concern for them. They're more concerned about opening the door for refugees and or illegals. And if they say we have room, I wonder if any one of those in those protests have offered to put their own house available for sheltering 10, 15 people, as many as you can crowd in. Whatever you crowd in, even in a three-bedroom unit, would be probably better conditions than what they've had. No, I don't see that any more than I see in California, the Hollywood elite with their mansions lowering the gate across the moat and saying, "Come on in, we got plenty of rooms." And now with coronavirus, even they are getting a little bit more concerned. They're not going to speak out because we still like illegals to come into our state, but I don't want them in my backyard. And I don't want to be associated with them when I go down to shop at Tiffany's. I mean, they don't want them on the street doing that thing that should be done in a restroom. The state of California has decided coronavirus, after one death, is a reason to declare a state of emergency. Why would they not have declared a state of emergency in dealing with their homeless across the state and direct resources there? Why would they continue to fight for open borders? Do they really want a plane direct from the central part of China where coronavirus broke out? Do they really want a plane to land at LAX and for the folks to disperse across the city? Of course they don't. Do they want illegals to continue to come across the border and seek refuge in California? Yes, if they will vote, and if we can get them to vote, or give them ballots and let them think they're voting, and we can use the numbers in somehow or another. It's not a crisis for the Democrats unless they see a political advantage, and that's what they have here. 1,000 dying in the streets, homeless in the streets, just in L.A. last year. Just in L.A. Now, as of now, we have something like 13 states across the U.S. have reported more than 80 confirmed cases of coronavirus. That's according to the CDC. And in checking if the connections they say 24 of them were travel related, 16 person to person, 40 still under investigation. New Jersey and Texas confirmed their first two cases late yesterday, but yet to be confirmed by the CDC. New York reporting 5 additional cases. California has a total of 29 cases and a victim, a death. The first one outside Washington State. So So now it's an emergency. Because the governor recognizes everyone's concerned about it. He could get up on camera. He could make his statements, have his aides go running around. They can make up ads showing the governor, I can make you safe from coronavirus. We're doing everything we can and we will. Don't panic. I'm here. I'll take care of you. Trust me. Trust me. I would really like, I wish there were some reporter in the L.A. region, Sacramento, somewhere, where they could get into one of those news conferences and ask the governor, how do you make this as a state of emergency, and you have not labeled all of our homeless across our state as a state of emergency, knowing that fecal material on the streets getting into different ways into people's hands or their bodies or in turn on their houses or their food leads to everything from salmonella to hepatitis A to typhoid fever, cholera, and that's not an emergency. There's no easy answer for that. Here's another question. If you're told to self-isolate, to stay home, and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to stay home. I want to go out. I mean, but you might have coronavirus. I don't care. I'm going to go out. I'm going to walk around. What happens?
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, I just recalled someone told me the other day that they like to spend their lunch hour now, and especially if it's a nice day where they can sit out or not, they listen on their radio, either in the car or using the app on their phone so they can hear the program while they're enjoying their lunch. I'm glad. I hope I haven't said anything reference to the materials we were discussing a moment ago that ruined your appetite. If so, I apologize, but I do appreciate you listening. By the way, there's a word out that coronavirus has mutated at least once. There's a second strain already detected. So I guess kind of like the beer, you have corona and you have corona light. You have coronavirus and you have coronavirus light. No, it has nothing to do with a beer. A New Hampshire man who tested positive in his state was told, stay home. You got a fever, respiratory problems, you just need to stay home. He decided to go out to a comedy club, and he got caught, and boy, did it hit the fan then. So now the Department of Health and Human Services in New Hampshire said he's going to comply now. We gave him an order to. But when the doctor just said you need to stay home and self-quarantine, he decided not to. Can he be charged? If someone gets sick from what he did by going out, could it? Could be. Could be a civil suit. If you're told to stay home, you need self-quarantine, you don't want to, or you're worried about, am I going to be paid while I'm home? It's going to count against my sick leave, my vacation leave. What happens? By the way, the comedy club where he went, they say they're now professionally cleaning the space. They've canceled 3 events so far, so somebody's paying some money. You heard, I assume, that 2 Republicans did not vote for the funding to fight coronavirus. Remember, President Trump said we need maybe $2.5 billion. That should do it. Democrats said, no, you need a lot more than that. You should have more. And they fought to make an $8.3 billion package. So when the votes were counted in the House, 415-2, obviously some were absent, 415-2, the 2 against Arizona Republican Biggs and Colorado Republican Buck, they said $2.5 billion was a more appropriate response. We just have the Democrats reloading this thing and going to go crazy. Maybe that's because they're looking at a report that our good friend in Chicago, Andrew, sent me the other day regarding the pay for CDC employees. This says that while we're watching the stock market and everything else go on, the CDC, the group responsible for protecting us through coronavirus, they've had a 28% increase in agency headcount since 2007. Compensation, a 51% increase in total compensation. 168 key employees at the CDC making more than $200,000. In fact, this report says 10,600 CDC employees earn $1.1 billion annually. And now they've got another bucket of money, $8.3 billion. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about covering tornadoes over the decades. And, of course, the nighttime tornado is the scariest since you can't see it. And we're going to talk about that as it relates to Nashville and some stories I covered. And I'll also relate a story that almost cost me my life. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Larry Connors USA.
I've spent decades covering tornadoes before you ever heard the term storm chasers. That's what we were doing. We just didn't think of it that way. Mostly, of course, in West Texas as a beginning reporter for radio stations and also TV stations. And I've covered the aftermath of several of them. And I have to admit that what I saw in Joplin after that 2011 EF5 tornado hit, May 22nd, 2011, killing 158, 8 indirect deaths later, more than 1,150 injured, and damages totaling $2.8 billion, I have to admit that I'd never seen devastation like that. Blocks just leveled. In some places, some block areas had nothing bigger or higher than a cinder block. Everything else was below that level. That was devastating. Got over there early the next morning after it hit that day. We geared up, went over, so be live the first thing the next day. But I also recall a tornado that hit, and of course, by the way, the Nashville tornado they just had came at nighttime. The one in Joplin was daytime, so it does not make it better, but at least you can see it coming. At nighttime, you just are totally, it is one of the most scariest situations you might ever be in, most scary, to find yourself that a tornado is bearing down on you at night, and especially if it's wrapped inside a rain cloud on top of the twister itself. Nashville, they're still trying to start the funerals, move forward. But there was one that hit in the Texas Panhandle in 1970 when I was a TV reporter for a TV station, KVII-TV, in Amarillo. This hit on the, let me get the exact date, between April 17 and 18, there were 15 tornadoes, 15 of them that raked across that part of Texas. This particular one, early the morning of April the 18th. On the 19th, and one of the newspaper articles came out about it, they were still kind of gathering details for it, Odessa American writing about it. And it was a prominent featured story, but it was below the fold. By that we mean, if you look at a newspaper the way it's folded, for those of you who have picked up a newspaper at some point in your life, everything on the top, as you see, is considered the most pressing, biggest news. And at that time, they were dealing with the Apollo 13 story, our astronauts safely back after running out of oxygen. Yes, it's the same one based on that movie, Apollo 13. But the front page of the Odessa American said in its banner line across the bottom, Sherwood Shores was a peaceful retreat before the tornado. Subtitle, Trailer Village Obliterated, 15 persons dead. Amarillo from Sherwood Shores, or Clarendon, Texas, is where this is about 60 miles. 60 miles straight down a U.S. Highway 287, I think it is. We did not know about it at the time it happened. There was a threat of tornadoes, obviously. We were doing the best to follow, the best we could with radar as it existed at that point. And then we got the word early the next morning that a tornado had raked across the Sherwood Shores area. Mostly mobile homes. Folks had their little places out around the lake, and they lived there. This is before cell phones, obviously. And it came in the dead of night around 3 in the morning. To my knowledge, there were no sirens sounded. No one knew anything until suddenly it's on top of them. This particular tornado that hit carved a 65-mile-long track, a half-mile wide in some places. And when it hit that resort area around this little lake reservoir and the mobile homes, that's where you had the high casualty count. But no one knew about it. No one knew that the area out there had been hit for hours until gradually some folks that survived could get out and go for help, get around some of the debris and get on some kind of road that would take them somewhere. The next morning, we had a friend in the cattle industry that was a pilot of his own Jet Bell Ranger. And we asked if he'd take us, and he wanted to go anyway and said, yeah, absolutely. So we jump in the helicopter to cover that 60 miles faster and get down to Clarendon, and the view from above as we crossed the area where the tornado track had went across 287, cattle dead, scattered everywhere, debris everywhere, parts of the highway still down, vehicles overturned. Then we got to the Sherwood Shores Resort Community at Greenbelt Reservoir, about 7 miles northwest of Clarendon. And here's where 12 were killed immediately. One child died later due to the injuries. When a mobile home is hit by a tornado, there's not a lot left. If it was parked on a concrete foundation, that's probably the most you're going to see. So we start covering the story, and there was the local hospital was overwhelmed with the victims coming in. But I was able to get one of the victims that was going to recover to do an interview, a TV interview. So we had permission from the hospital, had permission from the patient. This is all before HIPAA and all the rest of it. But, of course, you know, you still are not trying to run into a hospital and ambush people. You have concern for them and what they're going through, first of all. And secondly, it's just the right thing to do. So we set up at this bed to do this interview with this person. And as I'm talking to the person, I'm kind of moving, and my foot hits something down the floor, and I can't tell what it is, and I move a little bit, and I hit it again. I thought, what? And I looked down, and under the bed, there was a body. What the hospital was having to do was they were giving the best treatment they could to someone, and if they couldn't and they died, they had no place to put them other than put them under the bed, give the bed to a new patient. That's the best they could do. And also found out in the process that that same community had just voted down funding and a tax increase for a new hospital facility. When they held the vote the next time, it passed. But the damage and what those folks went through at that trailer park, and again, coming in the dead of night, 3 in the morning, some of those interviewed said they heard the noise. They always often say it sounds like a railroad train. It does. And others said they didn't hear anything, just suddenly everything exploding around them. A tornado at night, scary, dangerous. If you know there's one there, it's still scary. Which leads me to a story I was covering, trying to get footage of a tornado. And it was a nighttime event. I'd already been through one daytime event, which almost proved costly. And this time, the reason I'm here and I can tell you this story is, in my opinion, by the grace of God. Otherwise, I shouldn't be here. It is a dangerous job for the storm chasers. We've seen in a lot of that since then. But my story is one of those that always kind of strikes me every time I see or report on a tornado. And I'm fine. Don't have any trauma from it. It's just that I'm reminded. I'll share that in a moment.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the tornado I was telling you about that happened in Texas, the Texas Panhandle, that hit the Sherwood Shores Lake Resort, which was such a peaceful area, mostly populated by mobile homes. There were 173 mobile homes at Sherwood Shores. 173. Only one was left basically untouched. Many of the deaths and injuries occurred for those folks that were in those mobile homes. And in some cases, they were blown out into the lake and maybe drowned and are just unconscious and drowned. Autopsies never fully confirming anything. And as they found them, they brought them in. But coming in the dead of night, they weren't even sure what they could see or where they were. You can't even begin to imagine. You're asleep and all of a sudden you're moving, you're something noise, and suddenly you're face down in a pond of water or a lake reservoir. There was a time that, as I said, we did not call ourselves storm chasers, but every time, and the Texas Panhandle was ripe for tornadoes. Anytime there was a watch alert on, well, we would go set up on nearby overpasses and try to get video and sit there and wait for hours to a system move through. And there was one time I'm out on the overpass. It's night. Can't see anything anyway. We're outside Amarillo. The lights are behind me. And all of a sudden, lightning and wind roaring and so forth. I don't know. I'm thinking I don't know if I have a tornado on top of me or not. All I do know is that I quickly drove up under the underpass and hunkered down, and wind started blowing like crazy and stuff hitting and pelting the car. I don't know to this day. I never saw it. Then there was another time that I did capture video of two tornadoes forming in a field east of Amarillo. My news director got so upset, he said, for all my years, I've never gotten one, and now you got two on one. And I decided to get those pictures, and then I raced ahead of where I figured they would cross the highway, knowing that they normally would move southwest to northeast. And I picked a spot, and the storm started building and growing closer and closer, and then everything pea green. The sky was green and calm. And I thought, I can't see anything. It's dark green and there's no noise. I mean, what is going on here? And I have to admit at that point, I was asking the Lord to get me through this one. Because when you can't see a tornado, even though if you know it's there, you may or may not hear it. And sometimes they hopscotch. And then all of a sudden the car really started rocking severely. And I want to put it in drive and go, but I don't know which way to go. And then again, hail pounding. And the wind picked up, and it got louder, and all the eerie quiet was gone. There was a rush in my mind. Maybe it's something I just thought, but in my mind, the car was being lifted up a little bit. Maybe not a lot. Maybe like on a slow hydraulic lift, just slowly moving it up. Didn't seem to turn it, didn't rattle it, just lifting it up and then just almost as easily letting it back down again. I have no doubt that I just happened to be at the right spot, that it was doing one of those hopscotches where they travel on the ground for a while and then they lift back up and they come down again. And maybe I was just at the right spot where it was lifting up. I'll never know. Didn't get any more pictures. We are in that season. If you hear a watch has been posted, pay attention to it. And leave the storm chasing to those experienced who have been in it before and are better prepared than what many would be. As a young journalist at that point, I thought I knew everything and I was untouchable. I could do it all. But at the moment I'm in that car that time and that other time, as I told you at night, I wasn't so sure. The confidence factor is pretty close to zero. Pray for the people in Nashville and now across the southern part of our nation, Louisiana and so forth. They're having additional threats and warnings. Hopefully this season won't be that severe and bad. But another will be coming at some point. Don't take them lightly. As always, I appreciate your listening. If you want to rehear part of this program or share it with someone, it's going to be posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Thank you for listening. We'll be back. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.